Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds
of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show. Amen, amen. Grace and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Breakfast brunch.
Yes, Sunday.
Oh, man. Sunday morning breakfast brunch. Oh, God. We got the first day of the week here.
Yes.
And we got Paul and Mike on the deck.
Shalom.
We got Paul and Mike on the deck.
From
man.
Where?
From the Fellowship of the Spirit.
Yes.
Bible study
yes.
class.
Amen.
And,
long time.
Yeah. And the precept today. The precept today. It is. The Spirit of Jesus and His testimony.
Amen.
Right? We know the Spirit of Jesus and His law, but the Spirit of Jesus and His testimony?
That's right.
Okay. All right. That sounds like a doozy. Well, with all of that being said, we're going to hand this over to Brother Paul and Brother Mike. Shalom, Israelite.
Sunday shalom.
Hey, Sunday shalom.
Grace and peace in Jesus' most holy name, everybody.
That's right.
Welcome to the Sunday brunch. Before we get any further, sisters and brothers, I just want to say it's good to be back on the Sound of Living Waters radio show. Here shortly, we're going to be coming back on a regular basis, and I believe it's going to be Tuesday nights, and that date to be determined in the near future. But before we get too much farther along, why don't we go ahead and open up in prayer? If all you sisters would please cover your heads if you're persuaded to do so, and you brothers uncover your heads, to the best of our ability, we'll face the temple in Jerusalem, and Brother Michael, open up in prayer.
The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. Our reading today is from Proverbs chapter 12, verses 19 through 22. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of His word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Sisters and brothers, as always, we ask the Lord to keep all His saints safe and to give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in this period of instruction. The title of this lesson is The Spirit of Jesus and His Testimony. The Spirit of Jesus and His Testimony. Brother Mike, could you start us off with the definition of testimony out of the Webster's 1828 dictionary, please?
Testimony, A solemn declaration or affirmation made for the purpose of establishing or proving some fact. Such affirmation in judicial proceedings may be verbal or written, but must be under oath. Testimony differs from evidence. Testimony is the declaration of a witness, and evidence is the effect of the declaration on the mind or the degree of light which it affords.
Thank you, brother. Testimony differs from evidence. Testimony is the declaration of a witness. The declaration of a witness, someone who saw it. That's why the New Testament is a testimony of the Scriptures. And we're going to see that the spirit of what the spirit of Jesus and his testimony is today in this lesson. Let's start this off in Revelation, the 19th chapter. Revelation, the 19th chapter. I want to address any Sunday Christian sisters and brothers that might be here listening today. If you have to go and get ready for your services and you make it to the point in this lesson where you have to set us down, feel free to look us up on the Sound of Living Waters radio blog. You can always come back to this lesson and more lessons. And you can see, I believe the link is already up on the announcement, but if not, we'll see if our dear sister can't put the link up in one of the comments. That way, if you have to get moving to get the services, you can always come back later today and pick this lesson back up. Okay, Brother Mike, Revelation 19, the Spirit of Jesus and his testimony. Brother Mike, will you please start this lesson off in verse 5? Revelation 19. And verse 5. Go ahead, brother.
And a voice came out of the throne, saying, "Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, a voice of the great multitude, as a voice of many waters, and as a voice of mighty thundering, saying, "Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth."
Yes, sir.
Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready.
Yes, sir.
And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, "Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb."
Now, this is at a point in time right here, sisters and brothers. This is a point in time where the Lord has already come and taken back his kingdom, and now all the saints are getting their reward. Go ahead, brother.
And he saith unto me, "These are true sayings of God." And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, "See thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is spirit of prophecy."
The spirit of Jesus and his testimony. We already know what testimony is. It's a witness, an eyewitness. And the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Where do we find prophecy? In the Old Testament, in the Scriptures. Because now the whole book is Scripture to us. But at the time, there was no New Testament. That's what we're reading about in the New Testament, about Jesus being here on this earth, the Scriptures being the Old Testament. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You mean Jesus witnessed prophecy? We're going to find that out today, sisters and brothers. But another thing I want to point out here, John fell at this Holy Spirit's feet to worship him, because this is the Holy Spirit. You can go into Revelation 1 and it gives you that protocol. If you want to know who the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost is, there are scriptures that call it straight out. Go to Isaiah 63, verse 9 and 10. But that's for another lesson. Let's continue. Let's go to Amos, the third chapter. Amos, the third chapter. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. Amos, the third chapter. We're going to read one verse, brother. Amos 3. Amos 3. Yes, sir.
Mike's microphone is really low. Is it probable we can get him closer to it? Because he sounds really far away.
Brother Mike, you copy that?
Yeah, I'll hold my phone up a little bit more. Thanks, brother.
Thank you, Brother Job.
Yes, sir.
Amos, the third chapter. Amos 3, we're going to read one verse, brother, verse 7. 3 and 7. When you get there,
surely,
go ahead.
Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets.
So the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. His secrets will be his spirit. His spirit, his words, his revelations. He's giving his revelations unto his servants, the prophets, or he's revealing his secrets, his spirit, unto his servants, the prophets. This will become more clear as we go along. Let's go to Isaiah, the 8th chapter. Isaiah, the 8th chapter. Isaiah 8. Isaiah 8. And, brother, let's pick this up at verse 13. Isaiah 8 and verse 13. Go ahead.
Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken.
So now the Lord is prophesying through Isaiah. He's saying, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself and let him be your fear and your dread. In other words, serve him and him alone. Because if you don't, he's going to be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, both to the house of Israel and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And there's going to be many that are going to stumble and fall and be broken and snared and taken. This is prophecy, sisters and brothers. But now look at the next verse. Go ahead, brother.
Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples.
Bind up the testimony and seal the law amongst my disciples. Now we're adding something to the prophets. You've got prophets. Now you've got disciples. And a disciple is nothing more than a follower, one that adheres to your doctrine. You can be a disciple of your boss at work. He tells you a certain way to conduct yourself and a way to do the job, and you adhere to it. You're his disciple. Disciple's not anything holy or so. Oh, disciple Paul. No, it's nothing holy and nothing reverent. Disciple just means a follower. But he says, bind up the testimony and seal the law amongst my followers, my disciples. Skip to 20 and continue, brother.
To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them.
And it's to the law and to the testimony that they have to give, that they have to speak to, or that they have to teach about. To the law and to the testimony, the Old Testament and the New Testament, both the old and the new. Okay? Let's continue. Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, brother. Ephesians 2. And forgive me, sisters and brothers, I'm trying to get back in the saddle here. I have not taught a lesson in a couple of months, but you know what? That's no excuse. It'll fall back into place. You know me. I bumble and stumble all the time anyway. Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. Brother, Ephesians 2, and let's pick this up at verse 18. Ephesians 2 and verse 18. Go ahead.
For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God.
Go ahead, bro.
And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone.
Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. He's talking to the Gentiles here through Paul. Our Messiah is talking to the Gentiles through Paul, saying you're no more strangers and foreigners, but you're fellow citizens along with those of the household of God, with Israel. And you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, because at this time Jesus was already long gone, ascended back up to our Heavenly Father. He'd already suffered his passion, suffered and died and was resurrected. And Paul's out there bringing the gospel or the good news, teaching people how to be saved. And at this point in time, he graduated from Israel, and now he's going out to the Gentiles. And he's saying you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, because the apostles got it from the prophets. They're following everything that was written in the Old Testament, and that's the way they worship God. And they're saying that Jesus Christ himself is that chief cornerstone. It's all about Jesus, sisters and brothers, and we're going to see that as we continue. Let's go one other place before we move on. Let's go 2 Peter, the first chapter. Let's see the importance of Scripture. Let's see what the importance of Scripture is, meaning the Old Testament. What's the importance of this? 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1. A lot of people feel all we need is just the New Testament. The only thing we need out of the Old Testament is the Psalms, maybe a couple Proverbs. What we don't realize, sisters and brothers, is that the apostles, the New Testament disciples, because the prophets were the Old Testament disciples, they knew and adhered to every word that they had understanding out of the Old Testament or the Scriptures. 1 Peter 1 and verse 15, brother, go ahead.
Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his
majesty. I'm sorry. Hang on a second, brother. Hang on a second. I'm sorry. This is my fault. I'm over here letting them talk because I can't find it. 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1 and verse 15. I am so sorry. That's my one mistake for today. 2 Peter 1 and 15, brother. Go ahead.
That was 2 Peter 1 and 15.
I know. I'm lost over here. 2 Peter 1 and 15. Pick it up from the top, brother. Go ahead.
Okay. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty.
So Peter was an eyewitness of Jesus Christ's majesty. He was an eyewitness. What does a testimony mean? To be an eyewitness. Peter is giving his testimony to Christ in the Scriptures. Go ahead, brother.
17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased."
Yes, sir.
And
go ahead.
This voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount.
And this voice is the Holy Spirit that they heard. Go ahead, brother.
We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts.
In other words, you can rely on the sure word of prophecy until you start to get some understanding. Go ahead, brother.
Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Just like John was moved by the Holy Ghost in Revelation to write the book of Revelations. Every book we have was inspired by God and had to be written by man, absolutely. Let's move on. Let's go to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. So that is the importance of Scripture. It was given to us by God. Given to us by God. Let's look at the Old Covenant. Let's go to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Let's take a look at the Old Covenant. Matthew 22, we're going to read one verse, brother, verse 29. Matthew 22 and verse 29. Then we're going to skip. Go ahead.
Jesus answered and said unto them, "Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God."
Jesus is dealing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, as he's always doing, and the scribes and all the unbelievers. He's always dealing with one or the other. And Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err because you don't know the scriptures nor the power of God. Skip down to verse 35 and continue.
Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
I'm going to sit back and let Brother Mike read the scriptures, because every time I try to cut in like I normally would with a lesson, it bleeds over and it sounds confusing. Then one of them, verse 35, which was a lawyer. In other words, he was well-versed in the law. This wasn't a guy standing in front of judges trying to get you off for a DUI or something. A lawyer in scriptures mean he understood the law. He was well-versed in it. He could teach it upside down and backwards. And he was tempting Christ. And when he said, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus went right to love your neighbor as yourself. Or right to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And then the second, love your neighbor as yourself. In Luke, the 10th chapter, he was asked the same thing, but they asked him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he said the same thing. Two great commandments. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. What's the testimony of Christ Jesus? The spirit of prophecy. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Let's go to Romans, the 13th chapter. Let's keep our focus right now on the Old Covenant. Romans 13. Romans 13. And brother, since I already made that one mistake, you can go ahead and pick this up at verse 8. 13 and 8, brother.
Oh, no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law.
Love is the fulfilling of the law. That's why in Luke, when they asked Jesus, what must I do to gain eternal life? He quoted, love thy neighbor as yourself. Paul's breaking that down, so there's no mistake what he's talking about. He is talking about the Ten Commandments. Let's go to 2 John, the first chapter. 2 John, the first chapter. This is some of the testimony to the commandments or to the covenant. We'll read the testimony, then we'll go back into the law. 2 John 1, and brother, let's pick this up at verse 5. 2 John 1 and verse 5. Go ahead.
Now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I write a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son.
Look what the Lord had John write here. I beseech you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment, but that which was from the beginning. These commandments were from the beginning. Thou shalt not kill. You can read when they came out of the garden because of transgression. They lost their residency. They were kicked into the street. Cain turned around and killed Abel. That was murder, and the Lord punished him for it because he knew not to kill. He knew not to murder. Sometimes, sisters and brothers, we have to rightly divide, and we have to discern the scriptures. In other words, you got to use a little common sense from time to time. When they got booted out of the garden because of transgression, disobedience, what's sin? Transgression of the law. They broke God's commandments because they disobeyed. They didn't live according to every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Christ. First thing the Lord did after they sinned was he covered them with animal skins. The beginning of the sacrifices. Sisters and brothers, this covenant has always been good. And this is the commandment that we had from the beginning that we should walk in. And then he turns around and says, whoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ have not God. The doctrine of Christ? And he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. We'll get to that in a minute. But let's go back and look at the old covenant. Go to Leviticus, the 19th chapter. Leviticus, the 19th chapter. Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19, and brother, we're going to read one verse, verse 18. 19 and 18. Go ahead, brother.
Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord.
Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Where did Moses make this up from? Let's go to Exodus, the 34th chapter. Exodus, the 34th chapter. And, brother, we're going to pick it up at verse 27. Exodus 34 and verse 27, whenever you're ready, bro.
And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water, and he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments.
And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Other places it tells you that the Lord actually wrote them on two tables with stone with his finger. And that's where we get the saying, oh, that's etched in stone. In other words, that can't be changed. Moses came down off the mount. In his wrath, he broke those two tables. The Lord told him, get two more and come up here, and this time you're going to write it. These commandments are so important, the Lord had it done a second time and then told Moses to go down and teach the people and then told them to write books, which we know is the books of the law. At least the first five books are the books of the law, but that entire old covenant deals with nothing but the law, the Old Testament, nothing but the law. Let's go to Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. Let's take a look at the new covenant now. Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. Because we know that we are now in the new covenant. And people like to debate that, but when did the old covenant end and the new covenant start? When our Messiah died on that cross, when he gave up the ghost and that temple veil rent in half or rent in two, ripped in half, that signified the end of the animal sacrifices. Because the perfect sacrifice, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, had just been made. Hmm. At that point, we are now under that new covenant. Let's look at the new covenant. Jeremiah 31, brother, you're going to go 31 through 35. Go ahead, brother.
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord.
Now, I'm going to interject here real quick. I'm going to interject here real quick because it says, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with them when I brought them out of the land of Egypt, because they broke that covenant. And you can go back and you can read how the Lord had them wander for 40 days and 40 nights because all they did was grieve him. Go ahead and continue, brother.
33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for the light by day, and the ordinances of the moon of the stars for light by night, which divideth the sea, when the waves therefore roar, the Lord of hosts is his name.
The Lord of hosts is his name. A lot of people say, see, we're not under the new covenant because the whole understanding of God hasn't gone out through the world and all the sins aren't forgiven and Israel's still scattered. Sisters and brothers, the old covenant ended and the new covenant started when he died on the cross. But that doesn't mean right then and there he's gathering everybody. We're under the new covenant now, so time can play out under the new covenant like it did under the old covenant. And then at his return, all those who died that were righteous in him by obeying his voice, whether it was the animal sacrifices where you were found worthy of the first resurrection or the kingdom of the second resurrection, or whether it's today, the sacrifices of a contrite and humble heart, the sacrifices of swallowing your pride when you're wrong and going and making things right with a brother or sister when you've done wrong and you recognize you've hurt somebody, not covering up your own iniquity and your own sin, confessing your faults one to another, doing walking perfect according to the scripture, because believe it or not, sisters and brothers, we're all going to fall short. But walking perfect even details what you do when you do fall short. That's walking perfect. It doesn't mean you're without sin. At the appointed time, we'll be perfect without sin. And that's at the return of our Messiah. Let's go to Hebrews, the 8th chapter. Hebrews, the 8th chapter. Remember now, we're looking at this new covenant. This covenant that the Lord said he's putting in the laws into our hearts and into our minds. That's called a conscience, sisters and brothers. We never go sleep with somebody's wife right out in the open. When you commit adultery, you wait till the husband's gone. You plan it out with her. It's all done in secret. Nobody knows. If you didn't have a conscience, if we weren't under the new covenant, you just walk across the street because you don't have any tassels and they don't have any tassels on. You'd knock on the door. Hey, Joe, how are you? What are you doing? Oh, I'm here to sleep with your wife. We're under the new covenant, sisters and brothers. We know when we do right and wrong. We don't have to write it on our doorposts, on the side of our walls. We don't have to wear fringes anymore. We know better now. We have that understanding. Hebrews 8, and brother, let's pick this up at verse 7. We're still looking at the new covenant, 8 and 7. Go ahead, brother.
For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people.
I'm going to put my laws, and I'm going to put them in their minds and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. So if God's laws are to be written in your mind and in your hearts, and that what determines whether or not you're his people, and sisters and brothers, it is dire need to dig into his word and make sure that your walk is according to something that's pleasing to the God of this creation, to the God of the Bible. Because the God of the Bible and the God of organized religions are completely different gods. The God of the Bible is the only God that can grant you salvation and eternal life. We're under the new covenant now. It's written in our minds and in our hearts. Let's go to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Matthew 5. Matthew 5. And let's pick this up at verse 16, brother. Matthew 5 and verse 16. The Lord, up to this point, just got done teaching his disciples. He's going over the fruits of the Spirit, what they call the Beatitudes, what most people call the Beatitudes. It's the fruits of the Spirit. He's just teaching them everything that shows that you're a servant of the Most High God when you take hold of this covenant. And he's going over it. Poor in spirit, those that mourn, the ones that are meek, that thirst and hunger after righteousness, the merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers, pure in heart. Without being pure in heart, you are not a servant of the Most High God. And the only way to become pure in heart is to let those scriptures twist your lifestyle and turn you into what God would have you be. And then he's going to talk long after he makes this statement about keeping the law, about adultery, and about murder and everything. Matthew 5, and we're going to read 16 through 19, brother. Go ahead.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven.
I've had some brothers contend with me saying that all this is talking about is those fruits of the Spirit that the Lord was talking about in the beginning of this chapter. But you can't be pure in heart without keeping the law. Because that's what being pure in heart is, the keeping of God's commandments. And look what Jesus said. He's come to fulfill the law, not to do away with it. And he did fulfill his part. Not one jot or one tittle, as long as there is a heaven and an earth, shall in any way pass from this law until all is fulfilled. What law? The covenant, sisters and brothers. The covenant. It starts with the 10. When you can say that you are doing the 10 to the best of your ability, we'll sit down and talk more. But you're not keeping the 10 commandments if you're not keeping the Sabbath day holy, and that's the seventh day of the week. Nothing wrong with going on Sunday somewhere, but you're commanded to keep Saturday, the Sabbath day, holy. When you get these 10 down, then we'll look at the roads that go off the different laws. But for now, let's go to John, the fifth chapter. John 5. And brother, let's pick it up at verse 37. 5 and 37.
And the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape.
There was the Holy Spirit there. Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are which testify of me.
The Father himself, which sent Jesus and borne witness of him, you've never heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. You've never heard his voice at any time. When Peter heard that voice coming out of heaven, like I said, that was the Holy Spirit. That wasn't the Father. And you have not his word abiding in you because you don't believe Jesus. And this statement holds true for so many professed Christians today. Because they don't believe Jesus. He said, search the scriptures, for in the scriptures you think you have eternal life. But it's the scriptures that testify of him. Let's see where the scriptures testify of Christ Jesus. And we're going to get into the scriptures, but let's start this off in Matthew, the second chapter. Because remember, sisters and brothers, for us, the entire book is scriptures. But Jesus is talking about the Old Testament. Testifies of him. So we're going to go to Matthew, the second chapter first, and then we're going to look at a couple of instances where the scriptures testify or speak of Jesus. Matthew 2, brother, and read verse 1, then we're going to skip to 3.
Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem.
Skip down to verse 3 and continue, brother, and go through 6.
When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him.
And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.
So now when Herod knew that the Christ was going to be born, he wanted to know where he was so he could kill him. And he asked these kings where it was going to happen. Where were they going to be going to see the Messiah, the Christ? Where was he going to be born? And Herod wanted to know. And when he asked them, they said in Bethlehem, Judea, because thus it was written by the prophets. And then verse 6 says, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. This is talking about Jesus, sisters and brothers. Let's go to Micah, the fifth chapter. Micah, the fifth chapter. Micah, the fifth chapter. And brother, just read the first two verses when you get there. Micah 5, and here we go with verse 1. Go ahead.
Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He has laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting.
So we had the testimony about Jesus' birth, and now we have the prophecy, Micah, the fifth chapter. And look what else it says, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. This one that's going to be born in Bethlehem, that's going to be the ruler of Israel, his everlastings have been from old. Or his goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Let's go to Revelation, the 19th chapter. Scripture is testifying of Christ Jesus. Revelation, the 19th chapter. Revelation 19. Brother, and let's pick it up at verse 11. Revelation 19 and verse 11. When you get there, go ahead.
And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. He has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Now everyone agrees that this is Jesus. He's the one coming back, and he's taking his kingdom by force. Verse 13 says, And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And in verse 16, it says, He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We know this is Jesus. He's the Word of God. Brother Mike, can you give us, we found an Eastern Bible Dictionary definition of the Word. What is the definition of the Word, brother?
The Word, one of the titles of our Lord found only in the writings of John. As such, Christ is the reveler of God. His office is to make God known. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. This title designates the divine nature of Christ as the Word. He was in the beginning and became flesh. The Word was with God and was the creator of all things.
Whoa, wait a minute. How are you going to contest with this? And when you go into the Greek, which the New Testament was written in Greek, the word translates to logos, and it just means like messenger. the one that brings the message. And we can go on to other places, but it's for another time where they took sweet counsel together, the Father and the Son. They walked in the mountain of God together. What they were trying to determine was how they were going to give man the right back to the tree of life. So this one in Revelation 19, known as the Word, everyone agrees this is Jesus. And now Eastern Bible Dictionary tells us that Jesus was the one in the beginning, and he became flesh, and he's the creator of all things. Let's go make this clear. Let's go into John, the first chapter, the Gospel of John, the first chapter. And you can teach this lesson, sisters and brothers, 20 different ways, almost without touching on the same scriptures. But this is the basis for them, because the Lord had John write this. John 1, and brother, just read the first three verses.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
So now John is testifying to the fact that Jesus made everything. He's testifying to that fact. If you keep reading down, you read through about the first 18 verses, there's no doubt that this one known as the Word came, was manifested, made flesh. That no one that he came to save knew him, but yet he was in the world, made flesh, and he declared the glory of the Father. Let's go to Genesis, the first chapter, though. We've got the testimony on Jesus being the one of the Old Testament, the creator of everything. Go to Genesis 1. Let's see what the prophecy is or what the scriptures say. Genesis 1. And, brother, we're going to pick it up, and we're just going to read verse 1. 1 and 1, brother. Go ahead.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Who created the heaven and the earth, then, according to what we've been reading? In the beginning, Jesus created the heaven and the earth.
Mm-hmm.
But, sisters and brothers, this was the Spirit of Jesus that created the heavens and the earth. He hadn't become flesh yet. And when you're not a flesh and blood body, but yet you still live, you're a spiritual body. And this was Jesus in his spiritual body that created everything in the beginning. And John just told us that the Word was with God and was God and created everything. Let's just read, skip down to 26, brother, and we're just going to read verse 26. Go ahead.
And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.
And God made man, and he saw that it was good. In the evening and the morning were the sixth day. This is Jesus making the creation. Let's make it plain. Let's go to Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. Because remember, Jesus said, you do err not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God, because the scriptures testify of me. Isaiah 43, we're going to read one verse, brother. Then we're going to skip for a verse. Isaiah 43, and let's pick it up at verse 11. 43 and 11, brother. Go ahead.
I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior.
I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Do we have two Saviors? Did Jesus Christ and someone else die for the sins of the world? Beside me there is no Savior. Brother, skip down to verse 15 and continue.
I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King.
I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. And sisters and brothers, I am well versed in the scriptures, both from the Hebrew and the Greek, where the Strong's come from. And I've looked into all that, and I understand all the definitions of God and Lord and all that. This is Jesus speaking, sisters and brothers. He's the Holy One, the Creator of Israel, and your King. Let's go look at the testimony to this. Let's go to Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4. Give everyone a chance to get there. I don't want to start moving too quick. Hebrews 4. And brother, read 14 and 15, please.
Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but with all points tempted like we are, yet without sin.
All points tempted like we are, but yet was without sin. Was it Jesus not from the tribe of Judah and an Israelite? Yes. The Holy One of Israel. The book says all have sinned to come short of the glory of God, except one, the Holy One of Israel, our Messiah, Christ Jesus. Let's go to Zechariah, the 12th chapter. Let's look at some more prophecy. We're looking at scriptures testifying of Christ Jesus. Sisters and brothers, you pick up this book, almost every scripture testifies of Christ Jesus. You could teach this lesson a half a dozen to a dozen different ways, almost without touching the same scriptures. Zechariah 12, one verse, brother, when you get there, verse 10.
And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn.
A lot of people have gotten pierced throughout history. But the scriptures testify to Jesus or speak of Jesus. Let's go to Revelation, the first chapter. Revelation, the first chapter. Revelation 1. You could read the first four or five verses and look at the Lord's protocol. From the Father to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, to the nation of Israel, to teach the rest of the nations. But we're not there right now. Revelation 1, pick it up at verse 7, brother. 1 and 7. Read those two verses, 7 and 8, please.
Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty.
Here's the testimony to those scriptures, and this has not happened yet. Israel's still scattered. They're not back in the land. You don't see the throne of David over there. You don't see Jesus over there. You don't see any saints on thrones. So this hasn't happened yet, but it's a testimony to what the prophecy is. They're going to look on those. They're going to look on him also, which pierced him. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. The saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come. Let's go to Isaiah, the 34th chapter. Isaiah, the 34th chapter. Isaiah 34. Isaiah 34. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at the day of the Lord now, or the Lord's day. Because these scriptures testify to that. Sisters and brothers, the Lord's day is not today. It is not today. The Lord's day is the day of his return. Isaiah 34, brother, pick it up at verse 1 and read those first 8 verses, please.
Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, for all that is therein, the world, and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He has utterly destroyed them. He has delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. And all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as a leaf falleth off the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea and upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood,
and it is made fat with the fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fatness of the kidneys of rams, for the Lord has sacrificed in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. And unicorns shall come down with them, and bullocks with their bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and year of his recompenses for the controversy of Zion.
Sisters and brothers, this is talking about the day of the Lord, or the Lord's day. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance. There's nothing, no spookery in here. Unicorns shall come down. Saints aren't going to be riding on winged horses with one horn. This is probably talking about a one-horned animal like a rhinoceros or something like that. The Lord's day, sisters and brothers, is not a day that we should be looking forward to. In fact, in Amos, it says, "Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord." And Amos goes on to tell you that it's a day of darkness. It's a day when the Lord has come to take his kingdom by force. And this is part of the prophecy of that. Let's go look at the testimony. Go to Revelation, the sixth chapter, brother. Revelation 6. And let's pick this up at verse 12, brother. Revelation 6. Revelation 6 and verse 12. Go ahead, brother.
And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, every bondman and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said unto the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, who shall be able to stand?
Sisters and brothers, this talks about the moon becoming as blood, the stars of heaven falling unto the earth, the heavens departing as a scroll like we just read. And this is the great day of the Lord's wrath. Save us from him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. We don't realize the many roles that Jesus plays sometimes, sisters and brothers. You won't understand that until you start reading his word and praying on the scriptures. And when you have questions, seeking out wise counsel. He came as a lamb, and when he comes back, he's coming back as a roaring lion. And at that time, there is no chance for repentance. At that time, your fate is sealed, because if you are wicked, the last thing that's going to be on your mind is falling down before someone coming to kill you and saying you're sorry. You're going to be running like a little girl for the hills, asking the rocks to fall on you and the mountains to fall on you and to hide you. This is the testimony to some of the prophecy. Let's go back and look at some more of the prophecy. Let's go to Joel, the third chapter. Joel 3. Joel 3. Joel 3, and brother, when you get there, read verses 10 through 16.
Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion, and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel.
Yes, sir. This is all talking about the Lord's Day and that battle, that final battle of mankind when the Lord comes to take back his kingdom by force. There'll be another battle. There's three major battles at the end here. I believe Brother Job just taught on that not long ago. But this is the main battle where the Lord comes back and takes his dominance. He kills people. He gives some a second chance, and he sets up a reward for those of us that are serving him faithfully now. Let's go to Matthew, the 24th chapter. This is the prophecy. Let's go look at some of the testimony. Matthew 24. And obviously, this hasn't come true yet. I still see a sun and a moon every time I walk out. Even when it's cloudy during the day, I know the sun's there because it might not be shining, but it's light. It's bright. Except when them big major storms come through, but you catch the drift of what I'm saying. Matthew, the 24th chapter, sisters and brothers. Brother Mike, let's pick it up at 29. 24 and 29. Go ahead.
Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory.
They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. The return of the Lord. The moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven. The powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Same thing we read about in Joel. Same thing we read about in Isaiah, Revelation. Now Jesus is telling us. Let's go to Revelation, the 20th chapter. Revelation 20. Revelation 20. Revelation 20. Let's look at this great white throne of judgment and see what happens here. Revelation 20. Brother, pick it up at verse 11. 20 and 11. Go ahead.
And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works.
Uh-huh.
And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works.
You know, sisters and brothers, this prophecy even prophesies of those of us that are going to make the kingdom and live and reign with Christ. It says, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. Saw the dead, great, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And everyone is judged according to their works. And the sea and all the graves and everything gave up all the dead because it's judgment day. This is right before the Father's kingdom. But let's look at some of the prophecy about us that endure until the end. Go to Daniel, the 7th chapter, brother. Daniel, the 7th chapter. There's prophecy for everything that you could possibly think of under the sun, sisters and brothers. Sometimes it's in a general way. Tells you be righteous, not wicked. That covers everything. But when you start breaking down every little thing that can happen to you in your life, there's a scripture for it. Daniel 7. Brother, let's pick it up at verse 9. 7 and 9. Go ahead.
I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued came forth from before him. Thousands, thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened.
The judgments were set, and the books were opened? Who's making the judgment, and when are these books opened? It's at the end of the seventh day. This is Jesus. It says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down and the Ancient of Days did sit. The judgment was set and the books were opened. Let's go to Malachi 3. Let's see what these books are all about. Malachi, the third chapter. Malachi 3. Last book in the Old Testament. Malachi 3. And, brother, pick it up at verse 16. 3 and 16 and finish that chapter, brother.
Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name.
That's anytime you get together and think about our Messiah and Christ Jesus, anytime you have a holy convocation, anytime the book of remembrance is open and you're written in that book. Go ahead, brother.
And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serve God and him that serveth him not.
And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, talking about those that are worthy to be his, that are righteous in his sight. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. This is prophecy of those of us that make the kingdom sitting on thrones, sisters and brothers. Let's go to Revelation, the second chapter. Revelation 2. Revelation 2. And brother, let's pick it up at verse 26. 2 and 26.
And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nation. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father.
This is the testimony of that prophecy in Malachi. Let's go to Revelation 20. We'll read one verse, verse 4. Revelation 20. Revelation 20. In one verse, brother, verse 4.
And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years.
The testimony to the prophecy of us sitting on thrones, judging right along with our Messiah. Let's go to John, the fifth chapter. John 5, Gospel of John, the fifth chapter. And brother, let's pick this up at verse 45. John 5 and 45.
Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?
Hebrews, the 12th chapter, says Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Author and finisher. He's the one that gave it to Moses. If you believe Moses, you'll believe him. For he gave it to Moses, and then Moses wrote of him. But if you don't believe the writings of Moses, you'll never believe Jesus, because it's one and the same. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter. Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter. Jesus came, created everything, created man. Man sinned. Took wise counsel with the Father on how they were going to recover mankind, came through Mary to become that perfect sacrifice and to be the testimony of the Spirit, or the words that he gave to Moses and all the prophets. This way you have no leg to stand on one day when you stand in front of him in judgment. I gave it to everybody to give to you. All these sisters and brothers got it. What was your problem? So that when he comes back, he can judge with righteous judgment. Deuteronomy 18, And brother, let's pick it up at verse 15, 18 and 15. Go ahead.
The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto me, and will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that so whomsoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him.
That's deep. This is Jesus telling Moses, I'm going to come in the flesh, and I'm going to reiterate everything that I've said to you. I can say that because I have understanding of this book. When I say book, I mean Bible. I've read it several times through. I'm at the Psalms again. And I've studied it, and I've proved all things. No, I'm not perfect in the sense that I'm without sin, but I have understanding, and I do the very best that I can. And sometimes I struggle for days on end, and sometimes it's every second of the day. I don't want to make it seem that I'm perfect, because I'm not. I'm just a man. And I fall short just like everyone else, sometimes more. But I have understanding of this word, and I'm telling you straight up, this is Jesus telling Moses, I'm coming and reiterating everything that I gave to you and to the children of Israel, everything that I started with Adam all the way through. And I'm going to come in the flesh, and I am going to testify to that, that what I gave back then is still good today, and you do with it what you want, because now when I come back as a lion, I'm judging with these books opened, according to your works, according to my standard, not yours or not any other organized religion. I have given you a book compiled of several books that I call Bible. You want to use the Apocrypha that was originally in the King James? Go ahead and do so. It's your salvation. But the thing that I'm getting at is you have to prove all things. You have to abstain from all appearance of evil. If it even looks like it's wicked, get away from it. And if you don't do that, sisters and brothers, you got no shot at salvation, because this very message of salvation from the beginning of time came from our Messiah, Christ Jesus. Then he came in the flesh and he testified of it. Let's go to Acts, the third chapter. Acts, the third chapter. Acts 3. Acts 3. And let's go to verse 19, brother. You're going to read 19 through 26, and I'm going to really refrain from saying anything till you're done here. Go ahead. This is talking about Jesus. This is talking about Christ. Read the whole chapter at your own luxury. Go ahead, verse 19, brother. Go ahead.
Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began.
In other words, the times of restitution of all things until prophecy is fulfilled to the point where he returns. Go ahead, brother.
For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, all the prophets from Samuel and to those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and unto thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquity.
And I told him I wasn't going to step on him, and did it anyway. Two times today. Anyway, look at this, sisters and brothers. Look what this is saying here. Look what these verses are saying. Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. And when your sins are blotted out, your name is written in that book of life. He shall send Jesus Christ. And then it goes on and he quotes the scriptures because this is a testimony of Jesus telling Moses that he's coming in the flesh. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son, Jesus Christ, sent him to bless you in turning every one of you away from his iniquities, away from your sins, away from your sins. Let's go back and look at, and we'll end this lesson with some more scriptures that testify or speak of Christ Jesus. Let's go to Isaiah, the 45th chapter. Isaiah, the 45th chapter. I don't want any doubt whatsoever by the time this lesson is done, that this is our Messiah that's always dealt with mankind. Isaiah 45, and pick it up at verse 18, brother. 45 and 18, go ahead.
For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he established it, he created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, there is none else. I have not spoken in secret. In the dark place of the earth, I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations, that have no more knowledge, that set up the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye, and bring them near, ye, let them take counsel together, who has declared this from ancient time, who has told it from that time, has not I the Lord? There is no God else beside me, a God, a just God, and a Savior, there is none else beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear.
God says his word goes out and it does not come back void. Goes out and doesn't come back void. Verse 18, thus saith the Lord that created the heavens. We've already established that's Jesus. Then he goes down to verse 20, and he's telling you, those that are escaped of the nations that have no knowledge, that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Bible Christians don't pray to anything. They don't make any images. They don't have pictures. They don't have a cross in their house because the Lord commanded not to make any graven images, not to bow down to them and not to pray under them. You got a picture of Jesus on your wall, whether he's white or black. You got a cross on your wall. According to the scriptures, that's an abomination to God. Verse 21, he says, who has declared this from the ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Hath not I the Lord? Look at the prophecy that Jesus gave. Look up until this point where we're in the end of times, and everything that our Messiah gave to Moses has come true up to this point. And there's things that are yet to come true, and we're watching all the puzzles fit into the piece, all the pieces fit into the puzzle to bring that end times around into fruition. It could be 30 years, it could be 300, but we are in the end of days. Then he goes on to say, there's no other God beside him, a just God and a Savior. And then this God, speaking by the mouth of Isaiah or by his pen, says he's sworn by himself, his word has gone out of his mouth in righteousness and will not return, that unto him every knee will bow and every tongue shall swear. Let's go to Romans, the 14th chapter. Romans, the 14th chapter. Let's go look at the testimony of this prophecy, because the spirit of Jesus and his testimony is the spirit of prophecy. It's the spirit of prophecy. Romans 14, brother, let's pick this up at verse 10. Read those two verses, 10 and 11, please.
But why dost thou judge thy brother?
Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.
Every one of us shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Even those of us that are saints that make the first resurrection, we have to be judged to make that first resurrection. We're all standing in front of the judgment seat of Christ in one way or another. Some of us, when we sleep, we'll get woke up. We'll see the ground getting smaller and the clouds getting bigger. We'll see our Messiah. We'll meet him in the air and come back, and we'll live and reign with him for 1,000 years. That's scripture. But we have to be judged to even get called out of the grave to meet him in the air. And then we'll come back and we'll be judges. So we're the first ones judged if you make that first resurrection. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Let's make this plain. Let's go to Philippians, the second chapter. Philippians, the second chapter. And, brother, we're going to pick this up at verse 5. When you get there, Philippians 2 and verse 5, brother.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and has given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of the things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father.
Sisters and brothers, this is deep. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because he was God, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. What happens when you become a servant of God? You put away that false pride and you become a servant. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What do you do when you get baptized in the name of Jesus and you come up out of that water? You fashion yourself as a man and humble yourself, and you become obedient unto death, because you have to endure either until you die or our Messiah returns, even if it's the death of the cross for you like it was for some of the disciples. He's showing us how we're supposed to walk, how we're supposed to conduct ourselves to make that kingdom, just like he did. But he was the Holy One of Israel without sin, giving us an example of how we should walk. And because of that, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Didn't we read that, sisters and brothers, back in Isaiah, the 45th chapter? Where the God in Isaiah, the 45th chapter, was saying, at my throne will every knee bow and every tongue will confess. It's Christ Jesus, sisters and brothers. It's always been Christ Jesus. Let's go to Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Let's look at some more prophecy. Isaiah 40, and brother, pick it up at verse 9.
O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid, say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him.
Now this is prophesying about the return of our Messiah, Christ Jesus. When he comes to Zion, he's going to take back his city, Jerusalem, or Zion, by force, with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Go to Revelation 22, brother. Revelation, the 22nd chapter. Let's look at the testimony to this prophecy. Revelation 22, and brother, let's pick it up at verse 12. 22 and 12.
And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last.
Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, the last. Didn't the God of the Old Testament, didn't Christ Jesus say the same thing in the Old Testament in Isaiah? Didn't he say the same thing to Moses? Didn't he say the same thing to some of the other prophets? Absolutely. Let's go to Isaiah. Back to Isaiah, this time the 48th chapter. Isaiah 48. And then we'll end with one more. Isaiah 48. Brother, read 12 and 13, and we're going to skip a little bit.
Hearken unto me, O Jacob, and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first. I am also the last. Mine hand also laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together.
Isn't that something? Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. The God that took Jacob and adopted his entire family and all seed that would come out of his family, changed your name to Israel, his called.
Yes, sir.
He says, I am he, I am the first, and I am also the last. We just read that in Revelation. We read the testimony that was Jesus in Revelation saying this. Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Says his hands had laid the foundation of the earth. In other words, he created it. He, in his right hand, spanned the heavens, and when he calls, the heavens and the earth stand up together. No, that's not far-fetched spookery. He says that if we stop praising God, he can make the rocks praise our Father. Skip to 16 and continue, brother.
Come ye near unto me. Hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit has sent me. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord, thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou should go.
Says, come ye near unto me, hear ye this. He didn't speak in secret from the beginning of time. He says, there I am, and now the Lord God and his Spirit had sent me. The Father gave the word to our Messiah. Verse 17, he says that he's the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that you should go. He's the author, the one that gave it to Moses so that Israel could get it from Moses and teach the rest of the sons of Adam, and the finisher of our faith, the one that's going to judge us whether or not we've walked according to his ways. Because there's one thing you have to understand, sisters and brothers, about Jesus, and we'll end here. Let's go to Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. And one verse, brother, verse 8.
Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever.
Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today, the time this was written, or today right now, because then it's forever. The same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a God that does not change. Everything he gave to mankind back in the day, starting with Adam, all the way through Moses and Israel, it's still good today. It's just called the New Covenant because of the disobedience of the partakers of the Old Covenant. So, sisters and brothers, we now understand that it's the entire scriptures that are the spirit of Jesus, the Old Testament, and that when he came in the flesh, he spoke to or testified as a witness about those scriptures. He changed an ordinance here or there. We don't sacrifice animals anymore. We partake in bread and wine on the Passover. He changed some ordinances, but he did not change any of his commandments, statutes, or judgments. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So like being Sunday, Berman used to say on ESPN, rumbling, bumbling, stumbling. He could go all the way. Sisters and brothers, it's been an honor and a privilege to stand before you again. I thank you for the opportunity to rightly divide God's word, and I hope that somebody got something from these scriptures. And I thank Brother Mike for reading. I yield the mic.
Praise God, brother, in Jesus' name. Excellent lesson, brother. Thank you. Did you want me to close with the Lord's Prayer?
We're actually waiting for the host and anyone with questions to come back on, bro.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Well, hey, brother, I just want to say, man, that was a great precept. Welcome back, Cotter. Great job reading, Mike. Phenomenal.
Praise God.
Hey, great job. Hey, y'all wrote in a lot of scriptures, and Mikey held it down. Great precept, man. Great precept. Glad to have you back. I'm glad that the Father found some time to be about his business here. You see? So, hey, brother, always, always, always welcome. And, Brother Mike, good to hear you.
Praise God. Thanks, brother. Thank you.
Amen. Paul, we don't see any hands up. You got any closing comments for the brother?
Just that it's been an honor and a privilege once again to stand before you, sisters and brothers. The Lord says to his watchmen, which translates into the New Testament or the New Covenant, is those with understanding that teach, that we're supposed to warn the people from him. Now, beginning to realize that there's a lot of people that really just don't understand who Christ Jesus is. And I'm hoping that today's lesson gave you an opportunity to at least begin to see who this Messiah truly is. And in the future, we'll go over some of his roles and we'll approach him in a different way. Like I said, this lesson could be taught at least a half a dozen ways without almost using the same scriptures. So we're going to concentrate on our Messiah over the next couple of weeks and months. And we hope to see you around the first of man's year back on Tuesday nights, if not before then. It's been an honor and a privilege, sisters and brothers, and I appreciate this opportunity. Remember, stay in the book, and I will talk with you at the appointed time. Grace and peace in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Hey, brothers and sisters, that's our brother Paul. Like I said, welcome back, Cotter. And Mike, great job, brother. Always welcome.
Praise God. Thank you, brother.
It's nice. With that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sound of the Living Waters, do what?
Read your Bible.
Read the book.
Right.
Read the book, people. Shalom, shalom.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
The Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.